To hear from the AML group, from Alaska's mayors, we're happy that you're here. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. With me today is Representative Peterson, Representative Edgman, Representative Tuck, and Representative Faircloth. Thanks for being here, Representative Faircloth. Our first presentation we're going to have today is on, also we have online Representative Johansson. Thanks, Representative Johansson, for joining us. The first presentation that we're going to have today is something that has been a work in progress over the interim. We formed a stakeholders group. We wanted to present it to the mayor so you could take it back to your communities, take a look at it before it gets presented down in Juneau as a pre-filed bill. It's our stakeholder energy policy bill, and we have a long list of folks that are participating, and I think Bill and Chris will go over who our participants are. And just a big thank you to those of you that have helped on the stakeholders bill. It's been a labor of love. It's been some long meetings. Some of the stuff that has gone on is taken from other state policies, plans from around the municipalities, the tri-boroughs especially, so we appreciate their hard work. We look forward to having some feedback from the mayors as you take this policy back to your communities and make sure that you let us know what you think about it and any changes you see fit. At this time, we'll have two of our stakeholders present our stakeholders policy bill. We have Bill Popp from Anchorage Economic Development Council and Chris Rose from Renewable Energy Alaska. Is it project? Thanks, Chris. And with that, I will open it up for you guys to give your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, members of the committee, for inviting us here today. We're pleased to represent a very large group of Alaskans who've come together at the request of the House Energy Committee as stakeholders to represent various interests from the state to help to craft a draft energy policy for the state of Alaska. And our intent today is to just give you an overview of the progress that we've made, where the foundation of this is, where it came from, the efforts that have been exerted so far, and the results that have come from this process. First of all, we'd like to thank all the members of the committee who have helped us as far as Representative Edgman and Representative Millett for calling this group together, as well as the staff that's provided us quite a bit of support. As you can see, there's a very long list here of individuals who are members of this stakeholders group, many of whom are in the audience today, and we could go through the whole list if you'd like, but I think for sake of time, we'll just let the screen speak for itself, but also perhaps ask for a show of hands in the audience and members of the stakeholders group.
Hey, Bill, before we do that, can I just get you to put your name on the record? And
oh,
I'm sorry, I did it for you, but you need to do it yourself. And then actually, if we could read the name of folks so it is
okay
on the record also.
Very good. My name is Bill Popp. I'm President and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation.
And this is Chris Rose, the Executive Director of Renewable Energy Alaska Project.
And to begin this long and illustrious list, we'll just start reading down. Gwen Holdman from the Alaska Center of Energy and Power, Robert Venables from the Southeast Conference, Scott Goldsmith from ICER, Jason Bruni from the RDC, John Davies from Alaska Cold Climate Housing Research Center, Ralph Anderson from the Bristol Bay Native Association, Bob Pawlowski from the Denali Commission, Denali Daniels from the Denali Commission, Caitlin Higgins from the Alaska Conservation Alliance, Stacy Schubert is a representative of the Municipality of Anchorage from the Mayor's Office, Marilyn Leland from Alaska Power Authority, Mira Kohler from the Alaska Village Electric Cooperative, Ron Miller, an energy consultant, and then, of course, Chris Rose and myself were members of the stakeholders group. We were called together for a very specific purpose, and we're going to be a little bit informal on this process. I'm sure that Chris will jump in at various points, and I will go back and forth on this. But the general purpose that was agreed to by the group at the beginning of this process was threefold. One was that it was designed to develop a statewide energy policy as the basis of a long-term vision to address Alaska's energy challenges and opportunities. And then through that adopted policy, align state government in a unified set of strategic goals for the state of Alaska. And then finally, this would all lead to the development of a comprehensive energy plan to achieve the strategic goals of the state of Alaska.
And I'll just jump in here. This is Chris Rose. This makes a different way of looking at it, but there's a lot of energy policies, energy plans and programs out there. There are probably most of the folks who are here in the audience have probably engaged in some kind of a energy planning exercise over the last several years, because energy is such an important issue for everybody. It's the lifeblood of our economy. And there are a lot of projects that are being discussed as well. There are some goals that have been out there, but what we have been lacking in the state is an overall policy, a 50-year vision, a 30,000-foot outlook of what we're going to be doing here in the next several decades. And so this is another way to look at the way that we're trying to put together an energy policy. It's really the first thing we should have. We don't have that yet. So we've been working a lot on the programs and projects for the last several years, but we haven't had the policy that really guides that. We haven't had the policy that really sets up the sideboards for what are our goals going to be, what are our implementation plans going to be, what are our projects. So we're hoping that the legislature will pass this 30,000-foot view of what an energy policy for the state of Alaska should be, so that we can then establish which goals are important and establish what plans are going to be implementing those goals and what projects are going to be implementing those goals.
And the principles guiding this process were also agreed on early in the process, including the fact that the future success of Alaska's statewide economy is tied to available, reliable, and affordable energy for residential, commercial, and industrial users, and that a worldwide supply and demand issues for fossil fuels and concerns about global climate change are going to affect the price of fossil fuels in the future, just as we've recently seen with the last year's run-up of oil up to over $140 a barrel and the profound impact that had on many of our communities, well, all of our communities across the state of Alaska. And the view is that we need to be thinking strategically as to how we address those issues in the future.
Bill and I were both involved in the Tri-Borough Commission energy policy, and this was one of those energy plans or programs that were out there when we started this process back in July. And just for the benefit of the committee members in the audience, we've had five of these meetings now, including the one we had yesterday, just about one a month starting in July. And at one of those early meetings, we started to look at what's been out there, because we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And we all agreed, after looking at a copy of the Tri-Borough Commission energy policy and report, that would be a good starting point. And so we handed that out to everybody and gave people a chance to look at it and said, yeah, let's use this as a starting point. We're not going to take everything wholesale, especially because we realized that this was for South Central Alaska. It had been developed by a diverse stakeholder group that, like I mentioned, Bill and I were both part of a couple of years ago, that was appointed by the mayors of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the Mattsu Borough, and City of Anchorage. And it was a very similar type of process where we had a very diverse group of folks who'd come together and said, well, what are the policies that are already out there? We didn't want to reinvent the wheel then either. So we were looking at best practices from around the country and even the world in putting together that. And we used that then as a starting point to develop what we came up with here, knowing full well that that was a South Central type of a focus and that we could only apply some of those ideas to a statewide policy.
So the policy that we have drafted that's now undergoing legal review, that's intended to be introduced in the upcoming session, has some basic key points that it's going to cover. It will promote energy efficiency and conservation as being an immediate opportunity to help reduce energy costs for the citizens and the businesses of the state of Alaska. It'll promote development of renewable and non-renewable energy resources. There's a clear recognition in the policy that all energy sources, whether they are renewable or non-renewable, are going to be vital in terms of our next 20 to 30 to 50 years of economic growth and community development across the state of Alaska. And it promotes economic development through cost-effective long-term sources of energy for communities statewide, recognizing that there are going to be regional differences based on logistics and geography, and seeking opportunities to reduce costs wherever possible in a well-thought-out manner. The policy advocates for that very strongly. It supports energy research, education, and workforce development, because these will be key to bringing on some of these technologies and some of these energy resources in the coming decades, as well as providing an economic opportunity to benefit from the development of those resources. And then finally, it strongly supports coordination of governmental functions, and it promotes the streamlining of regulatory processes and also the avoidance of duplication of effort, and overall a coordinated effort by state, local, and federal government. and all the different agencies so that we don't have smokestacking going on between different agencies where we get deviation in guidance in terms of direction that these agencies are operating in, regulatory processes that are at odds with other regulatory processes. The policy strongly promotes that type of level of coordination.
This is going back to the same slide as we showed before, and I think it helps describe the process we went through over the last 5 months in that we all clearly agreed that we needed a policy. We wanted a policy to be distinct from the planning that's been going on, the projects that are being discussed, and even the goals. And so at some point, you know, I think it was about 6-8 weeks ago, we had a draft bill that was 7 pages long because that bill essentially included a lot of goals and included a lot of implementation plans. And we all decided after discussion that that's not really what we wanted. What we wanted was something that was distinct from goals, distinct from implementation plans and projects. So we all agreed to a much slimmer version of this bill, which you have before you, which is, you know, very general, that allows the legislature and hopefully regions and communities to develop plans that are tailored to them, but in line with the goals that the legislature may set and in line with this policy. And so, again, what we're really trying to emphasize, and I think we all agreed, this diverse group of stakeholders, is the policy is necessary. We don't have that yet. And, in fact, the states and the nations in the world, and we're dealing with a global economy that we're very competitive in, the ones that have energy policy are the ones that know where they're going in 50 years. And that's what we're saying is we need some kind of a policy that sets a roadmap. That doesn't mean that the legislature can't change the policy at some point down the line. You know, we're not going to be static for 50 years, but we do need some kind of goal to where we're headed right now that allow us then to put the goals together that we have as a state and then to have regional planning and projects that will implement those goals. So that's just another way of framing how we did this, how we engaged in this process over the last 5 months. And I think everybody in the group really felt like we had a lot of good give and take and that we really listened to as many different aspects of this issue as possible. And we all kind of came to the same conclusion, which is we need a policy and we need it to be general enough that puts sideboards on what we're going to be doing in the future.
I think it's also important to note that this was a very strong consensus process. There's some very spirited debates over various points of the policy and the direction that we took this in. And I think that what we have is a document that we can all agree has aspects of it that we all felt were important. We didn't necessarily all get every single point in that we wanted, but I think we've rendered down a document that will help to establish a policy that we can codify through the state statutory process, as opposed to it being a almost a throwaway policy in the fact that it doesn't live beyond one administration to the next. That this would be something that, if adopted by the legislature, would set the policy for the state of Alaska and has been done successfully in many other states. Utah comes to mind, as well as other countries. British Columbia has also established an energy policy that's been very successful for their province. To set these foundational policies is the most important first step. From that, goals can flow from those policies, and then from those goals can flow a plan to achieve those goals. And so I think we're all very strongly supportive of what we've developed as a stakeholder group, and we definitely look forward to helping to support this process as it goes forward into the next into the upcoming legislative session.
I just want to put my own thanks into the committee and the chairs, the co-chairs, and all the committee members who were involved in this and the staff, because this has been a lot of work, and I think it's been well worth it. So thanks for opening up this process.
And I'd echo those thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you, too. Thanks both to you and all the stakeholders that are here in the room and those that aren't here today. There's been a lot of work, and you're right, we had some spirited debate, and I think that the process that we went through was something a little foreign to the legislature. Usually we write the policy and then we send it out for public comment, and I think we did actually the reverse, where we took it out to the public and asked you to form the policy and shape the discussion and come up with a document that's palatable to you. And as we go forward and we have the open public policy debates on it through our committee process and through some more committee meetings, I think that you know, you've done a lot of excellent work, and thank you so much. And Bryce, did you want to represent Edmund?
Thank you. I just wanted to offer a couple of comments. also like to say thank you to the large and diverse group of stakeholders that sort of stuck through this thick and thin meeting, July, August, September, October, November, and I think we plan on having one more meeting. But I might add that you know, when we do get to the finish line, that our goal, I think, will be satisfied in that we are going to have substantive legislation that does reflect this kind of a collaborative decision-making process, having members from the resource development, the conservation community, large utilities, small utilities, Denali Commission, and just a host of others sort of putting their minds and their arms together over a bunch of facets of overall policy. But also just to conclude by saying that the House Energy Committee has been very active. We've traveled around the state, nearly 12, 13, 14 communities. We had 30-some-odd hearings down in Juneau. We had a joint hearing with the Senate Committee in front of Alaska Federation of Natives, and certainly today hearing from the mayors. And Madam Co-Chair, looking out in the audience, we have a very diverse group of folks from AML and really good, solid representation from all corners of the state. So I think you know, that the product out of all of this is going to be a pretty worthy piece of legislation.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other committee comments? Thank you, gentlemen, very much for giving the presentation. You did a fabulous job. I couldn't have done it better.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, while Bill and Chris are getting their stuff together, we'll start with our testimony from the AML group. And first up, I'd like to invite up Mayor Luke Hopkins from Fairbanks. And it looks like we have about 12 or 13 mayors that are going to testify today. So,
thank you very much.
If you'll just identify yourself for the record.
That's what I was going to do. Thank you. I am Luke Hopkins, a recent mayor, Fairbanks North Star Borough. I wanted to speak to you about the draft summary that I have on the state energy policy and program recommendations. I don't claim to be the expert on it. I just wanted to let you know what was happening in the interior and make sure that those issues are well addressed, looking at the tri-borough actions and other documents that I see coming forward. You know, even though there are two individuals that I know very well in this stakeholder group, the interior of Alaska, and especially Fairbanks North Star Borough, has, of course, issues of the cost of energy, as all the state does. We also have a concern that as we look at our renewables, we have wood burning activities that have put us across the bow of the great ship EPA, and we have a non-attainment area in the borough. And so as we look at our communities utilizing wood products to heat their homes to save their costs, we're having a very, very, a very difficult time looking at 3 years from now when we must reach an attainment plan that works. And that's a short window for us. It's a short window for the state of Alaska because it will affect the state of Alaska also on funding issues. As you know, probably, I also am on the a board member on the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority Board, and we are looking at, and I hope you have heard, the supplying the Fairbanks community area and the interior and other parts of the state with the possibility of a plan to bring natural gas from the North Slope, of course, by truck, into our community so that we can afford our citizens a reduced cost of electricity, because at this point we're still a long ways from gas coming into the community. We're a long ways from having the pipeline. And again, when I speak about gas coming to the community, we have gas, and that's true. And it comes from in the Triborough area. It comes out of Wasilla, of course, as LNG. And that's more expensive than our fuel oil currently in our community. And so it's an amazing concern and an amazing thing to watch that in some of these pages here on this draft summary, we have create the predictable pricing methodology for cooking inlet gas. And I want to raise my hand and I say we certainly need to have the predictability in Fairbanks of reliable and affordable and clean energy in our community, and it has to happen soon. So I want to make sure that in this program of items that I see here with many, many renewable and alternative energy programs that are very good, and I am pleased to see it. There's a short-term issue that our interior has, and I certainly hope that in the upcoming legislative sessions there will be a particular addressing of those issues that we have. I do know that for our electrical cooperative, Golden Valley Electric, most of you are probably aware that they may not have jumped onto the, I believe it's House Bill 183, and there's a concern that I have for that and what that will do for our ratepayers in terms of what our co-op has done in terms of preparing itself for ensuring that its equipment, its generating equipment, is reliable. Now, of course, the plan to bring natural gas by truck into the community, our anchor tenant, I would hope, would be Golden Valley Electric. That's and that would lower the cost to all of our residents that are served by that co-op. And just make sure that as you consider this HB 183, that you take into very strong consideration how that affects us to the north. There is a need to upgrade all of the generating equipment in the rail belt, as I understand it. But also I understand that looking at Susitna Dam and the issues with that dam, I wish that I saw it more in here. It may be in the actual document in the bill, but I would certainly hope to see some of those actions be secured in this bill. So it's a quick overview of how I'm viewing this. And again, there's a lot of concern with the renewable and alternative, and what we have right now, of course, for our consumers in the for our utility corporation is coal. And coal is burned there, and it will probably mean that the Healy clean coal plant will probably move forward. I expect that is what will be happening, and that's something that probably needs to be addressed as an action that again brings consumers low cost energy. Whether it's clean, as I understand it, there's some hearing shortly with EPA in terms of the Healy clean coal plant, and we'll wait to see what happens with that. But those are my concerns, but I do appreciate the extent of work that has gone into this bill to address renewables and alternatives, as that's what we need to do in this state. So thank you very much for this time, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Mayor Hopkins. Any questions from the committee members?
No? Thank you very much.
And next up will be for Mayor Sullivan, Stacey Schubert. Sorry, Stacey, didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Good afternoon, Representative. Thank you very much. My name is Stacey Schubert, and I am the Intergovernmental Affairs Director for Mayor Sullivan in Anchorage. As you may know, the mayor did establish a task force shortly after being elected about 120 days ago to address the energy situation here in the South Central region. And there is a group of very concerned individuals who have been working very diligently to address the situation, specifically as it relates to deliverability in Anchorage. And the mayor has had a test event with the public here in Anchorage to focus on conservation efforts. And we found that through that, about 4% of our community participated. We saw about a 4% reduction in energy the night of that test. And we suspect that there will be, or we expect rather, that there will be more tests going forward. The intermediate solution, however, for the Cook Inlet region really is on storage. And that's what the mayor would like to focus on in the next couple of years. As to what the long-term solution is to the energy situation in Cook Inlet and across Alaska, the mayor is certainly not going to prescribe to the legislature what individual project might be, again, in the best interest. However, he is very committed to supporting the legislature and working with you as you develop solutions. And that's really all that I have to comment on today.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Tuck?
I understand that the utilities are also going to run their test, a combined test. Do you know when that's going to be? I thought it was in the month of November sometime.
Well, the municipality did work with the utilities to run the test, a tabletop, if you will. And that meeting, that exercise was very well received. The utilities have indicated that they learned a lot from the exercise, that we were all able to work together. And I don't know if there are additional exercises planned with the individual utilities.
Okay, thank you, Stacey, very much. Appreciate it. Next up, we have Mayor Coos from the city of Ketchikan.
Thank you for inviting us, Therese. My name is Dick Coos. I must correct something. I'm not the mayor. I'm representing Mayor Lou Williams, who can't be here today. So I'm a member of the city council. Thanks to the committee for tackling this type of a problem, because it's serious not only in the state but all over. And the policy has to include things that are, you know, like it was mentioned, non-renewable, renewable resources, and it's got to be energy sources and conservation. It's all got to go together. In Southeast, our primary energy resource is hydro, as I think everybody knows. And fortunately here, I think last month, through the help of two of our other mayors here in the room from Wrangell and Petersburg, we put power through the Swan-Tyee power line. It's working for us, and it's going to be a great effort for us down there. There are other sources of energy down here available to us if we're willing to tackle it, but it's going to take your help and help some changes probably in the federal government side. Two things. One, hydro has to be recognized as a renewable resource, and biomass from the Tongass National Forest has to be available to us. It's a renewable resource, and it can grow. The other thing I'd like to make sure that as we move forward, nuclear has to be a source that's available to us. It's becoming more portable. I think overseas they're developing smaller plants in some of our rural communities that really have problems probably getting any type of energy out to them other than fuel oil. Those plants can be moved out there efficiently and cheaply and probably run for 50 years. So nuclear has to be in the energy in the mix. But part of this, the things you're trying to tackle and the communities need to tackle, two things are going to have to happen. One, the federal regulations or federal laws empower the federal regulators, and they empower the environmental groups to stop projects. And I think every other mayor that spoke this afternoon and this morning at the conference over there talked about either a federal regulator or an environmental group filing a lawsuit that stopped or slowed down and significantly delayed and cost more money to a project in their community. And I don't have a solution to offer you for it. I wished I did, but I think that the state needs to assert their state rights and sovereignty over a lot of these issues. It's a bigger issue, but you need to assert that right and see if we can't move the feds away from being our big uncle that's here to help us and usually is the one who kills us. And those are kind of blunt words, but I worked for the federal government for a number of years. I know what they can do to us. I know what they can do for us. And right now it's up to the states to assert their rights. It's up to the communities to assert their rights. So thank you again. You've got a big job in front of you, and good luck. Continue to help us do it.
Thanks, Dick. Is there any questions from the committee members? Representative Edgman?
What's the kilowatt-hour rate? How expensive is a kilowatt-hour of power in Ketchikan?
In Ketchikan, our customers are being charged by the public utility. I think it's about 10 cents a kilowatt, plus I think we're charging a penny right now on top of that for some diesel we're having to run. Basically, I think we buy power from the two dam pool now, the three local communities there, for about 6.8 cents, and then the other, whatever adds up to 10 cents, is what it costs us to run the power lines and so forth in town.
Is there any type of trend of more people heating their homes with electricity instead of the more conventional diesel fuels?
Absolutely. A number of the public buildings are being considered for it. Myself, I put in electric heaters because it's cheaper than, well, oil and power and electricity right now is right there. And I know last winter I ran electric heaters in mine. Most of the new houses are putting electric heaters, electric boilers, and that trend is there. And if our manager in Ketchikan has got the right figures from consultants, we figure in 5 years we're going to be pushing the power limits that we've got now. So we need to continue in Southeast implementing hydro projects or whatever type of thing to generate electricity and connect them together so we can get every community's cost down and be able to share it if something goes down on the line.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee members? Thank you. Thank you, Dick. Appreciate you being here. Next up, we have Eric Middlebrook from the City of Bethel.
Hello, Eric Middlebrook from the City of Bethel, for the record. And I want to thank the members of the Energy Committee for all the hard work that they've been doing. I know you guys have been working very hard and traveling around the state. I remember when you came out to Bethel. And I do consider energy one of the most important, if not the most important, issue facing the state right now. It's absolutely essential to the economy. Out in Bethel, as a city leader, one of the duties of a local government is to create an environment in which business and people can thrive. With the high cost of energy, it's very difficult for any economic development to happen. I have people come to me with ideas of value-added fish processing, of craft sales, of fur tanning, of creating shops that make sleds, of shops that make crafts, of shops that do all kinds of things. And it's very difficult for any of those businesses to take hold and for us to develop anything when the cost of energy is so high and it's so expensive for people to live there and pay the basic expenses. So this is a very critical issue. Wanted to bring that point up. And there is another source of energy that for rural communities that was presented to me, and I believe I mentioned this to you when I testified in Bethel, and that is to buy liquefied natural gas on the world market and ship it in to rural Alaska and store it as compressed natural gas. There was a study done by a engineering group here in Anchorage, the PDC Harris Group, that applied for a grant through our local tribe to the Alaska Energy Authority. It was turned down because it was not deemed a renewable energy project. However, I do think that it needs to be looked at. The cost of the pilot study was $750,000. The cost of liquefied natural gas in the world market is a fraction of what petroleum is. It runs about $4 to $5 per million BTU versus over 30 for petroleum. And the way the market is with liquefied natural gas, it looks like that price is going to be low for quite some time, and the supply is going to be quite available. When I mentioned this to Steve Hagenson, he referred me to the people that are working on a propane project with the North Slope gas supply. When I looked into this, apparently what I learned was that the North Slope gas has a large amount of propane in it, and it needs to be removed before it's shipped. And then that would be shipped by barge to Western Alaska. Now, as a member of Bethel, we feel desperate for any source of energy that's cheaper than oil, so we would accept anything. I'm concerned with that project in that it's very difficult to ship stuff out of the North Slope for a very long period of time. When the winds blow from the south, I understand it's very hard to get barges in there, and there would probably only be like one shipping company that could bring it to us. so we would have some of the same problems that we have with the petroleum distribution. It's also dependent on the gas pipeline being built. So I would encourage you to look at, as a possibility, doing this pilot study for the liquefied natural compressed gas system that would not be dependent on the pipeline being built and a short shipping season that could possibly be a low-cost energy source for most of Western Alaska and most of rural Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you so much. And next we have the City of Scammon Bay. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you. You came a long way to be here, so
I'd like to acknowledge
that. There's a couple of flights, for one from Scammon Bay to Bethel and one from Bethel to here.
Oh, thank you. You all for giving me this opportunity. My misunderstanding led me to sign my name this afternoon. I was led to believe that the state of Alaska no longer supported projects in alternative energy in relation to small hydro projects. I was wrong. I didn't realize that it was the federal government who didn't include that portion in their definition. I'd like to tell you a little story.
Can I just get you to put your name and
oh, by the way, sorry. My name is Frank Aguchuk. I'm the newly elected mayor for Scammon Bay. I was just elected this October. I'd like to tell to encourage you all with this little story that happened back in 1972. The Army Corps of Engineers came into our community to do a feasibility study on alternative energy, and that had to do with small hydro project. That study was done and then was completed, and the Army Corps of Engineers found out that the project was very doable. And for some reason, the community elders rejected it because of their concern for the environment. Had they known that we were going to experience high cost of energy today, they would have supported it. But they didn't know that back then. So our community has struggled over the past 2 years, nearly paying $8 a gallon for heating fuel, and roughly $6 this year, nearly $6 this year. So I'm very encouraged to hear that the state of Alaska is in well support of this endeavor with alternative energy and reasonable energy. I encourage you all to keep going where you are, and I'm going to go home and tell my community that I've heard some good things from this hearing. I really thank you for giving me this opportunity, Quiana.
Thank you, Frank. Is there any questions for Frank? Representative Edgman?
Yeah, what's the cost of power out there per kilowatt hour?
I'm not sure right now. I really don't take a look at my park, but it's pretty expensive. Oh, by the way, one other thing that I forgot to mention is that if the AVAC did that study, did another study in our community concerning a small hydro feasibility study, but then they figured that it wasn't doable, but we disagreed in the community. They came in a little too late during the year to do that study, but if hydro was brought in, it would be good for 6 months, and another project in where maybe wind turbine can do a lot, you know, will complement another 6 months to bring down that high cost of energy in our communities. I know the other small communities face similar problems like we do. Our villages like Chivac and Hoover Bay, they come around. I've been seeing some wind turbines brought in. I'd like to see that in our community as well. Kwiana.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. Representative Jewell, if you'd like to come up and sit with us up, we have lots of room up here for you. We'd love to have you. Thanks. Next, we have the City of Wrangell. Right.
Thank you very much. My name is Don McConaughey. I'm the mayor of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska. We have been talking about energy issues in our Alaska's Conference of Mayors for this past morning, and one of the goals was to have 50% renewable energy by the year 2025. I would encourage you to look at Southeast Alaska. Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan are at where I think a lot of the state would like to be at. We in Wrangell enjoy 11 cent per kilowatt hour prices. We have also instituted within our town for people who do a certain amount of infrastructure, such as putting in electric heating units into their homes, they get an 8 cent kilowatt hour for that section. They have to. There's some requirements. They have to have in 2 meters and one thing and another, but it is well worth them doing it rather than paying the high cost of fuel. I would really encourage the committee to look at the rainfall and the high elevation lakes that we have in Southeast Alaska. They aren't going to go away. They're going to be there forever. They are going to they have that availability of potential energy for Southeast Alaska, along with an intertie to intertie the communities such as Cake and other smaller communities that are in very serious trouble, where they're paying like 60 cents a kilowatt hour. And so if you could have it incorporated where hydroelectric was one of your main concerns in Southeast Alaska, I think it would be something that'd be well worth doing and save Southeast Alaska communities as far as prices of electrical.
Thank you, Don. Any questions? Thank you. Next, we have the City of Petersburg. Do we have a Southeast thing going?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Al Dwyer, Mayor of Petersburg. And I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing, and especially for showing up at the Haines Southeast Conference. Everybody was impressed with that. And thank you for listening to me then, and hopefully I'll be short. But Petersburg is very lucky. Our wholesale cost for hydro is 6.8 cents. The average homeowner pays 11 cents a kilowatt hour, and then we have special rates in addition to that. The community of Cake, which was, I think, around 600 or 700 people, has slowly bled almost to death. I think there's about 400 people from Cake, and pretty soon there'll be a grid extension to Cake, and hopefully that'll revive that community. And also the state's planning, DOT is planning on putting a road there along with the power line. So that'll they'll be served by the Taiyi project. The Taiyi project serves Wrangell and Petersburg and Ketchikan, as does Ketchikan's Swan Lake, feeds us when we need it. It enables us to deal with water management so that nobody ever goes dry for their hydro. I think it's important that hydro assets that belong to the state now remain that way. I don't think private ownership of our hydro assets is a good idea, because a corporation, regardless of how good they are, is out for a profit. Taiyi and Swan Lake are run by municipally owned power and light, and our goal is to drive the cost of the wholesale power down. So we develop a reserve fund to help us pay for the things that break. And then after that point, when we think we have enough reserve, we start lowering the cost of power down. And we suspect that in a not too distant future, we'll be even cheaper than 6.8. And I'm not saying that Cake will be 6.8. It might be a little bit more to pay for the installation of the grid, but the possibilities are endless. I think it's important that Native communities that are in Southeast Alaska benefit from the public monies that Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan have received. And the only way to do that is to grid them, get them off diesel. And, they may still have to have standby power in case something happens. But I think it's important that from the Southeast point of view that we own our assets and not it doesn't go to private industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee members? Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. The City of Houston. Roger.
Madam Chair and Committee, thank you very much for the time and all the hard work you guys have put in. I know that Senator Huggins and us have met quite a few times in the Valley also looking at the different energy problems that we have out there. Even though Houston's pretty close to Anchorage, 80% of our town is actually still on diesel fuel. So the majority of our heat is fuel oil. And at $3.15 a gallon right now, it's actually driving the heating costs, especially this low temperatures, way up. I know last year that I converted our home into a with a coal furnace and reduced the cost of about almost 60% of what I was using in diesel fuel. And Usability delivers coal right to the house at quite a significant savings. Unfortunately, though, when you're gone from home for a week, then your diesel furnace kicks on and then it heats your whole house and you're spending over $3 a gallon. One of the areas that hopefully you'll look at is the hydro in the valley, especially the Susitna area. We haven't seen a whole lot, you know, discussion on that. But interesting, talking to my father, who helped with the 1972 comprehensive plan in Houston, that was one of the areas that was discussed was the hydro plant in Susitna in 1972, along with, like, rail spurs things. Now, I'm mayor, 36 years later, and the stuff that he talked about with the comprehensive plan in Houston back in 1972, we're trying to implement this many years in the future. One of the things is I think we've looked at to depth a lot of these projects, and for some reason we really don't seem to get a handle on pushing them forward. We spend millions and millions of dollars on the projects to review it, to analyze it, and then they sit on shelves and gather dust year after year, and we don't follow through. Possibly it's time we start following through in some of these areas. Infrastructure, you know, low cost of energy, and that brings business and economic growth to any location in that. You know, we have a lot of methane gas in the Mat-Su borough, but yet we have ordinances in the borough that prevent us from drilling for methane gas. I'm not sure what the state can do to help out on that, but there's a source of gas right in Cook Inlet right here now that can help out. One of the legislators I was talking to recently made the comment when we talked about putting in a bladder system in Houston to help with a small electrical plant to produce heat to reduce the cost to our local residents, our businesses, and the school, that if drilling for methane in the valley was to jeopardize a bowline or something, they'd make sure that it didn't go through. And I felt that was a very poor example of the thought of the future for Alaska, especially in this area, and that if, and I hope that as this group that looking at it, that you wouldn't penalize the areas that has other growth areas in that because it may jeopardize something that may happen in the future. And I was concerned about the comment when it was made to me at this meeting with some legislators. Biomass is another one I think we don't look at enough in. I think we have the opportunity, especially like willow, you know, pellet plants, coal pellet plants. Those are areas, especially in some of the outlying bush areas, that can be actually utilized instead of diesel fuel. And it doesn't cost much to convert. Mainly the conversions on your diesel generation plants is just the burner system and the auging system in that. I don't know how much it's been looked at, but in a lot of these areas, you can actually start tree farming, sort of like willows in that. Maybe that should be something we look a little more into, is the biomass area. Those are just everything we need to put together for the future needs to come together one time, but we need to start moving forward on it. And I know that, the Small Business Administration loans, we have a small company out of Houston that's tried to put a pellet plant together and has been stopped time after time again for the low-interest type loans for setting those type of projects up. And maybe the state can help out on looking to streamline the areas to get that going. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Roger, can I just get you to put your name and affiliation on the record for me?
Roger Purcell, Mayor, City of Houston.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Roger? Representative Edgman?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. You know, it's real interesting, all the hearings that we've held throughout the communities and certainly down in Juneau and the hearing that we had at AFN and so forth, there's just a lot going on in energy in Alaska. There's a lot of things going on at the local level. There's a fair amount of things going on in state government, certainly federal government. There's things going on. But in terms of legislation that will get serious consideration next session, I think one area will be whether or not state government and its role in helping out on the energy situation. You know, there needs to be sort of a consolidation or a centralization of sort of all these various arms in state government, and whether that's a department or, you know, the bolstering of Alaska Energy Authority or something to that effect. But it'd be interesting knowing your comments along the lines of working with the state. Have you encountered, you know, various agencies sort of scattered all over the place and trying to move the energy issue forward?
Well, yes. Like we just put in for an AEA for environmental impact study for a small generation system for methane along with a bladder system, which the city would like to put together so we can provide low heat, steam heat for the school and for all the municipal buildings, and then provide for an industrial area on top of that, and then sell the electricity back to MEA to pay for the plant itself. Unfortunately, natural gas and methane is not considered a renewable resource of energy, so therefore it may not qualify for the grant to get the environmental impact study. When I was being also on the board for the Matsu Resource Conservation and Development, working with some of the Small Business Administration for trying to streamline and help people get loans for alternate energy in that, they seem not to be able to go past a certain step. In other words, they hear a lot of stuff in front about how great it is, they're going to move forward with it, and then when it comes to the final stages, it's like it's a block, like they don't move any further and they're not able to go any further forward, I should say. And there's no real help to get them past the next phase is what it is. So they get that block, and unless it's a large company or a large corporation coming in, there's no... That one step is missing for the help they need to make the next step is what I guess I should say.
So just a quick question. So I think what I'm hearing you say then is that it would be helpful to, and pardon the term, but have sort of a one-stop shopping area maybe that you could turn to as maybe a city administrator, a city mayor, and state government on the issue of energy. I'm struggling here a little bit. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but... I mean, it sounds like you've had some difficulty in trying to reach out and find the sources of help that you needed.
Yeah, that is. I mean, we hear, well, you get to go to the Denali Commission, and you go to the Denali Commission to find information, and it's hard to get through the information. You get to the SBDC, and you go there, and you try to get information. And there is no place that really can give you the handle to give you to the right spot to get the information and move forward. So, yes, having that type of office that could actually help each individual area and streamline the situation would be great.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you. I appreciate you being here very much.
You.
Thank you. Next up, we will have the City of Seward. And, Willard, if I could just get you to put your name on the record and your affiliation for me. Thanks.
My name is Willard Dunham, and I'm the mayor of the City of Seward. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk. I didn't give a chance in the various hearings you had. One reason or another, I wasn't able to hit some of the ones that you did have held around and on the peninsula. The state needs for energy policy, and it's probably the most important thing, in my opinion, that you have facing you today. Because community needs are different, but yet they're all the same. Just the process is a little different. We in Seward own our own plant, and we have 38 miles of TA line. We're in the presence of doing a $5 million upgrade of our backup system, which is diesel, which is very expensive, as you know, to run. We presently buy power from Chugach Electric at a rate of approximately around deliveries. We just raised our rates, so it puts it up to about 12 cents a kilowatt. But the fuel surcharge almost doubles it. And each utility, of course, handles the fuel surcharges different, but ours is a direct cost tacked on the bill, of which we have no control over at all, which automatically makes our people shocked when they take a look at a bill. They see their usage is one price, and then by the time they get done, they see an additional price almost equal to it, or in some cases this last winter was more of it. We just did have a, I will admit, we just got a reduction in shortly in it. The lack of assistance from the state has resulted in a weakening of our delivery systems. The Rail Belt Intertie funds that were appropriated many, many years ago have slowly been siphoned back, and they were not all of them were expended. We didn't get a chance to use them to upgrade our system, and the state has taken them back. They've also taken back the interest over it. And in most cases, this has been very serious for us who have not been able to upgrade our systems the way we need to do it. For example, in our system, we have our TA line has three different carrying capacities, 115, 90, and 65. When we are running at peak in our load, which is between 11.5 and 12 megawatt, you can see the difference, and it creates some problems. We see very large dips in some of our lighter lines go through. The past administrations, like I said, we've had REGA, we've had REPA in the last 3 years to try and do something with it. I'm glad to see that you have this new report before you. It's more simplistic than the other reports that I'm sure that you've all had laid before you. And that now we have Gretzky, which has been put to us by the past administrative governor, and is being present governor has said that he is going to continue. We have made a little bit of headway, but the utilities, the six utilities on this are about split. We're 3-3 on whether we should right now. Hopefully we're going to be able to work this out, but whether we're going to be able to do it. But it's going to be up to you as legislators to assist and work out some sort of a system to help us. Now, we've had some complaints with us that, well, the rail belt isn't all of us. I understand the rail belt is not all of the power problems around. And as you've heard already, the differences in the various areas. Each of us, like I say, we're the same, but yet we're different. And I don't relish you your job to try and figure out an answer to it. I think Gretzky could work, given the right opportunity. Especially if the state were to step up and you as legislators would step up and accept, much like you did with the Bradley Lake process when we built Bradley Lake for the hydro. All the utilities participated by population and percentage, but yet the state backed the bonds. You didn't put up any money, but you backed the bonds so that you could do it, and the utilities in turn paid back the money. And this was a good thing. And some of us hope that maybe this will be a process you'll look seriously at when you get to implementing and working on an energy policy. There are, of course, no easy answers. And it's important for you to address our energy needs, as it may be that the new power delivery systems, generation, weatherization, and alternate energy are all key components. But if you don't give us the opportunity or backing to do it, it can't be accomplished. Gas supply, and not the least, is a stable gas supply. Now, it's unfortunate that we have gas all over the place in the slope, but we have no way to get it to us. I think only one proposal, and that was the in-state gas line, had included in it a barge system, much as was suggested to you by an earlier speaker about the North Slope propane and moving it in to put it down. The in-gas line that Harold Hines' group had did have a built-in system for the coastal communities where you could do LNG, put it on a barge, ship it to an area, hook it up, and make it. Now, this may or may not work, but I don't care. There's no way you can get a gas line, in my opinion, I'm just a layman, to us on a major gas line without you figuring out some way to get gas reserves to hold us now. Gas is a serious problem here, especially in South Central. And if this, we may get a good chance to look at it if this cold snap stays for a couple of weeks. So, in my opinion, there's a, the availability of cash is one, is a major problem, of course, but there are ways that you can supply this, as I said before. You can offer a backing and allow us to work on it to do this. And I hope that you, as you implement your energy plan and do this, you will look at some sort of reason financing schedule that we can accomplish what we need to do. Thank you, and I appreciate being able to address you.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Are there questions from the committee members? Representative Tuck?
Thanks for your presentation. Now, I understand that the City of Seward owns the utility that, that's down there now, and you guys do have, used to be able to power your own generation plant through diesel, and you have that as a backup now.
We have it as a backup, yes.
And you do purchase power from...
Right. We purchase, well... We were extremely foresighted in Seward. I can't thank my forebears for doing this. When we were buying diesel for seven cents, we were having power delivered by hydro. But diesel was 7 cents a gallon, and the hydro was somewhere around 11 because of what we were running. So the city, we dropped and dismantled our hydro system, and all went to diesel. So we've been diesel, and now diesel is not 7 cents a gallon. And we, so many years ago, we worked a contract with Chugach to buy a block energy from them, and then we took. But we elected in our community to hold our diesel plants up as backups because we wanted no power outage. And I will say, we have not ever had a power outage over 3 days. The longest was 3 days, and that was the earthquake. But other than that, if we're out over 12 hours, there's a lot of whining goes on in our operation because we pay for it. But it's worked very well for us. And we, like I said, we buy it. But now we're all scared because if you have a shortage up here, guess who's going on diesel? And when we go on diesel, we're going to go up about 31 cents or more to run. Actually, the last time when we had a slide took out a line and we had to go to on diesel, we ran for 26 days. And we actually blew two old engines. We had two World War II submarine engine diesels that we were on, two old Alcoas. And we blew one of those, and another one was still running, but we were afraid it was going to go. So we wound up. That's why we did the $5 million extension. We put in two new generators, bought two new. So we are in a position. We can supply for our community, all 38 miles, we can take in the community of Moose Pass and Cooper Landing if needed for that area if we have it. But, yeah, we've elected that it's going to cost us a little more, but we want the assuredness of having a backup system.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you. You also mentioned evolution of acronyms, REBA and REGA and so on and so forth. And now we're here at GRETC.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that with the right opportunity, it may work. What are some of the problems with GRETC, and what do you see as some of the solutions for the City of Seward?
Well, we think it's the answer. We think that there needs a centralized location of power corporation that allocates and operates and has the backing, the funding, to allow us, it would do much like I say, the Bradley, we thought some of us believe the Bradley Lake. You prorate it out to the various utilities that need it. but you have one centralized corporation or nonprofit or whatever you want to have for this little blockhead in the that has, that does the distribution, that pushes it out. You buy it, you keep your systems, much like we are doing with Chugach right now. We buy power from them. And this, I don't think you'll ever get the utilities. You might, but I don't think you'll ever get the utilities lock, stock, and barrel, turn over their entire operation to the state. And I'm not sure that would be the best thing to do. But I do believe that you could have a corporation, which is like many, is done in many other areas. I think BC is probably a good operation, the electrical, where you had a single identity that handled the power. You could handle it, do also the financing as you needed to upgrade, but it would be prorated out to the various utilities. It seems like it would work. It seems like a simple system. Everybody's... You know, I'm not sure that simple systems work because you think, what's the catch? But to us, looking at it, the way that the state backed us and allowed us to do Bradley seems like it ought to work. I won't say it will, but it seems like it was. To me, it makes more sense than the two previous studies that were done.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee members? No? Thank you very much for
Thank
being
you
here.
Very much. I
appreciate
it.
Next, we have the City and Borough of Yakutat. And just for the record, if you could just state your name for us.
My name is Dave Stone. I'm the Borough of City Borough of Yakutat.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
And I want to answer the question right now, 55 cents a kilowatt.
Thank you.
I know it's going to be asked, so I'm going to get it right out front. I have a number of issues because price of fuel and all, but what gets is the PCEs. We have them for residents. We don't have them for public buildings or businesses. Now, Yakutat, if you watch the evening weather report, you'll see we're right on the Gulf of Alaska. The halibut and black cod fish is right at our doorstep. But since black cod must be frozen before it goes to Japan, people are going to Seward or Sitka. These boats will not come into our town to sell their black cod because we have to, it's like 10 cents a pound to keep it frozen, so we're 10 cents less. So if they got 100,000 pounds, they're going down the road. We are working right now, and I think we're probably 10 steps ahead of everyone else. We're working on a biomass electrical generation, and we're in the second stage. We're hoping to bring electricity down to about 12 cents a kilowatt, but that's just hope. What we'll be doing is we'll be planting 6,000 acres of alders as the fuel stock. And right now, we're planning on using, when the alders get grown, we'll be thinning the national forest, thinning process, and use that wood to fire the generator. One other thing we have going, we're step three on wave energy. And we're the only community that has even applied for the funds. And what it will be, they call it a clamshell situation, where this thing will just pump out there each wave and pump a fluid to shore to turn the turbines. Now, when that comes to you, it's expensive. We're hoping that the legislature will say this is a good pilot project. 6 years ago, the Energy Authority said that Yakutat was prime person because of our accessibility to good wave action and close to town. So that's what we're hoping down the road, that we'll even get off biomass and be able to do wave energy. But the PCE situation, that's important, but you're going to have to put more funds into PCE if you're going to fund businesses and public buildings. Now, there's an out-migration, and I don't know how long our cannery is not a big cannery, but $4,000 or $400,000 a year electric bill. If he was down to that 12 cents, he'd be down. He's 55 now. The math would be about a quarter of that. So economic development in the bush depends on energy, and this is very important if we want to develop small businesses, our grocery stores. They're shutting down. They can't afford to keep the stuff frozen in their thing at 55 cents a kilowatt. So we have a real issue there, and I'm hoping that this committee here in the Senate committee will do something to address that. We're in southeast Alaska, but we're the only ones. Well, we're kind of almost south central, but we have no hydro capability there. And the Energy Authority said you boys are going to go to biomass. They didn't tell us how. We're in the process of figuring it out ourselves. There's nobody there that could say, this is how it's done. We're in that process now, and hopefully. And I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Dave? Any committee members? Representative
Yes, sir. Ethan? Yes, sir.
Did you say the Wave Power Project is up and running, or it's an experimental stage, or testing, or what?
We invested $45,000 of our own money to have it studied, and now the study was done, and they think this is feasibility, and now we're going to the next step, and we're hoping that this could be. We have 36,000 miles of coastline here. We're hoping that this will be a pilot project, and we would need money to do it. But that's where we're at.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you being here. Next up, we have the Bristol Bay Borough. Dan? Good to see you, Dan. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Just state your name and affiliation.
Dan O'Hara, Mayor of the Bristol Bay Borough. First borough in the state of Alaska. We formulated a borough for the express purpose of education, and we are the sockeye capital of the world, without doubt. It is a red zone. And there's three things I'd like to bring to you today. And Madam Co-Chair Representative Millett and Co-Chair Representative Bryce and committee members, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity. I think it was very wise on your part to find the biggest percentage of mayors coming out here at this time, and for then giving us an opportunity to come talk to you about some of the concerns that we have. And right now, this is a very exciting time in the Bristol Bay Borough, because Donna Vukic with Enactic Electric has a thermal drill rig sitting on Pike Ridge, about 10 miles from the King Salmon Airport, and it stands 100 feet in the air. They're going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll go until it frees up, and that's 17 below after today. I don't know how much longer they will go. But they are 6,000 plus. At 8,000 or 11,000, now this is what you hear on the street, because they don't tell us, they don't tell the mayor all the things that they're doing, and it hurts my feelings, but cause I think I should know. And at 8,000 or 11,000, they will do directional drilling. And directional drilling is good, Mira Kohler says, and she's an authority. they're ready to punch the second hole. That tells you something. When they get they got to, you ought to see, you ought to just, if you come there and have a hearing with us, and you might, you got to go up there and look at the stockpile of pipe. This is like being on North Slope. It's incredible. And that thing is running. It scares you to death when you get out of the car. It's a huge noise of this thing pounding this stuff into the ground. And when they hit a gusher, friends, there'll be a party, I guarantee you. And you'll be invited. Well, there's a couple of things related to energy. 8 years ago, this is the second point, 8 years ago, after being closed for 8 years, the Quijack and all of us going in the rivers of Ugashik, Igik, Naknik, Nishigak, and these places, being inside, crammed into fishing, and the Quijac not coming online with a recruitment stock, all of a sudden the Quijac cut loose with 25 million fish 8 years ago, 26, 27, on up 30. This year, 2009, 31 million fish was harvested. Guess what's going to happen in 2010? 33.5 million fish are coming back. We don't have a processing capability. Foregone harvest is just unreal, into the millions. How does that relate to this community and energy? Well, we pay 57 cents a kilowatt hour. These guys behind me whining about 11 cents and those type of things. I have no sympathy with those guys whatsoever, although I like my association of mayors. Egigik is paying 93 cents a kilowatt hour. They don't have jobs down there. Mayor Sullivan is getting our people from rural Alaska. He's had to revamp his schools because of energy costs and lack of jobs. So it really is interesting. So if this goes, when it goes, our costs will go from 57 down to 13 cents a kilowatt hour and take in 15 communities in Bristol Bay, Burl, Leavelock, Kliganikstu, Ekwok, Dillingham, maybe Manicona, Togiak, for sure Igigik and Pala Point at 13 cents a kilowatt hour. They're already planning the right-of-ways for the electrical lines going. It really is time for the state of Alaska to get on board and help Nactic Electric out in the Bristol Bay Borough on this energy thing. If we could get this cost down, I'm sure the Bristol Bay Borough, maybe the processors would do, but we would do it, a capital project of a huge area where you could bring this excess amount of fish in and freeze them. And then at a later time, right now, processing is being killed by a high kilowatt hour. Alan Aspen and people like that just can't do it. It is not in the cards. It has to come down. We have a huge problem. We have too many fish and too high cost of energy. At least we have a good problem of too many fish. Most every place in Alaska don't have any fish. Cook Inlet didn't get any. I guess they dipped at it a little bit. Southeast, they didn't get any fish to speak of. Kodiak got a few pinks. Chignik, now listen to this. 2 years ago, Chignik had 800,000 sockeye. This year, 2009, they had 1.2 million. They're starting to come back up. The Moonies came over. They got way over a dollar a pound. Helped them out a little bit. So if we could get this energy down, where we could start maybe handling some of this product, and now that we have the first phase of our dock done, going back to remodel the second, we'll have 400 feet. Northland can put two barges in it. 2008, Ed Sponhurst came down to our city dock and said, if we don't have any more lightering area to put these 40-foot containers, we're going to shut Bristol Bay down. 85% of everything goes across the Bristol Bay Borough dock. And I tell you what, if we fell through that dock with that forklift, Bristol Bay would not be catching fish. We've taken fish all the way from Moeller up to... I won't even touch that. But Moeller came up and we canned their fish. Some of our fish went to Kodiak and the thermal rigs. So I guess the third thing would be that if we can get this down to a reasonable cost of energy, it would be an incredible thing. And we really thank you for... It's a lot of work to come and sit here all day long and listen to us mayors give you a bad time, but we want to thank you very much for the opportunity of talking to you, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mayor O'Hara, for coming forward. I certainly know the situation on the Bristol Bay Borough, but for the purpose of putting it on the record and tying it into the energy situation, can you talk a little bit about what the high cost of energy, i.e. the high cost of living out there, is doing to the population in the borough?
Yes. Representative Edgman, for the last 5 years, the population has been going away, and people looked at what we had to offer in a school, and they did not have the athletic programs such as gymnastics and soccer, and we had basketball and volleyball. They looked at other musical programs going on, and they decided, hey, the cost of energy, it was really expensive here. We just moved to Anchorage. So our schools went from 315 down to 145. This year, we came back up to 155, and we were thankful that the student count is much higher. The cost of energy is so high that when people retire, they have got to leave the borough to come to Anchorage to survive. I mean, these senior citizens, I'm one of them now, that's really too bad that they have to. Our young people would like to come back to our community and live there. All four of my children live in town, good jobs. They won't do that in Nacogdoches, but we're educating them. We got a budget going. We got educational funds going.
I think one more step beyond that, Representative Edgeman, is when you take, like, the Chignecks, Bay Lake and Lagoon, Perryville. I fly for Petter, one of the bush pilots. I go to those places, 25,000 hours in the area. I know that area and the people really well. 2 years ago, Crowley did not come by and give Perryville fuel, so they had to fly it in. $750 for 55 gallons of fuel, $1,150 for 55 gallons of stove oil. Someone should have gone to jail, mainly Crowley. That is unconscionable. And those people don't have the kind of jobs we have in this city. No wonder you guys are overcrowded here with people in this city who don't have the skills to even make it in this city. So I think you guys are the key people to really probably make a difference. And all of us are going to have to work together, whatever we can do. I don't care who gets what. You know, if we can help somebody else get something, we'll always get something. It's not anything. The playing field is very level. So that was a long explanation, by the way.
Thank you, Richard. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dan, for being here. Really appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you guys for your...
More questions? Okay. Next up, we have the Aleutian Eastboro, Stanley Mack. And Stanley, if you could just state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Stanley Mack. I'm the mayor of the Aleutian Eastboro. And I want to thank you and the committee for the work you've done thus far in regard to renewable energy and the program that's being offered. Down in the Aleutians, Alaska Peninsula, we have every type of energy available, but no way of harnessing it. We've been very fortunate up to this time that the community of King Cove has been able to harness the hydro in there, and that's been a tremendous asset to that community. We're looking at, we have geothermal. It's right on the Ring of Fire. We have wave action. We have tidal action. We have natural gas. But it's just so cost prohibitive to venture into these areas for, and we have the wind, of course. It was hit on earlier today, and I brought this up at the Conference of Mayors, that whenever we try to harness these resources, we run into a lot of environmental opposition, naming one, that if we do anything in the ocean, we have to watch the sea urchins or some of the other, like the sponges or something like that. If we go on land with the wind, we have to worry about the birds. If we go into the geothermal, we have to cross into federal lands. All these things are regulated to the point that we can't afford to go in there. So my cry today is that if we can get some help in helping, or some help to get these projects identified and perhaps off and running, I think we can satisfy a lot of our problems with the energy out there. We, too, some of the communities have electric bills of, you know, 50 to 60 cents a kW. And someone hit on it earlier, that fuel surcharge really hits us heavy. That's one of the biggest, when you look at your electric bill and you got your electricity bill was smaller than the fuel surcharge, you wonder what's going on. But that's all part of business, and we understand that. We in a borough have tried to identify the resources in the area, and we're going to be addressing that at our summit come December, the areas. But it's taken us a lot of energy in our part to identify these things. But we're willing to work with you folks to identify these resources in the area that could supplement the demand that's there. As Representative Edgman came out to visit us at King Cove and seen the operation there, the borough just built a new school in King Cove. One of the environmental obstacles we had to overcome was that there was a little stream running underneath the area that the school is going to be built. Well, we were going to put a culvert in that and build a platform over the top of that, but there was one Dolly Varden in that stream. We couldn't put a culvert in there. We had to bridge that with about a 40-foot steel I-beam and build a school over the top of that, which increased the construction of that school tremendously. We overcame that. During the time of the construction, we incorporated in the system a waste heat recovery unit, and luckily the city of King Cove had a project in mind that was right adjacent to the school. They're going to put the power plant. We now are heating our school with the waste heat off those generators. And they've also put in at their own expense, and some of the money that they borrowed from the Denali Commission, the Energy Commission, but they're borrowing that money and having to pay it back for something that we feel that could really be helpful if we could get some assistance in a grant form to supplement this operation. That brings the cost down, although the initial impact of investment here was tremendous, but it's now paying off. We've saved in the neighborhood of $40,000, $50,000 in the operation of that school, which could go to other programs to help educate our kids out there. They're looking at identifying another source of water that could perhaps supplement the energy that's there now, the hydro system. And in doing so, they could probably have enough energy, and I think the engineers have demonstrated that there's enough power there to supply power to the neighboring community, Cold Bay. This then eliminates the use of fossil fuel in our generators. With the regulations that are coming down with the federal government, the emission problem we're having, they're old generators, and they're going to have to be upgraded here very shortly. The initial investment is going to be astronomical. The cost of electricity then will go up because of the fact that they have to make that investment. If we can harness the hydro in the area and or the geothermal that is right adjacent to Cold Bay, that problem would be solved. It also would help in going a step further. The neighboring community, I think, you know, you see the network of electric lines and power lines throughout the United States going over to neighboring communities like Nelson Lagoon or Falls Pass. Acatan now is in the process of harnessing the geothermal on Acatan. But that's a private company that's going in there. And that, in order to recover the cost of that, it's going to be quite high. But then again, you've got a renewable resource that is going to be there forever. Somehow we have to look at funding these projects and getting your initial investment back, which will come back to you in a grant form or some other form that could keep these communities alive and well. Going back to the second hydro that's proposed in King Cove, the processing facility there has now reached its max on the emissions control. And you're going to see a lot more of these fish processing plants that are now advancing into other species of fish. Going to have to add more demand on their power system, power grid, which means more diesel power. And the emission control is going to be maxed out, and they won't be able to expand. With this coming on, We have tidal. We could explore that. We have wind. We can explore that. And believe you me, there's a lot of wind out there that could really be harnessed. With the hydro, these canneries could use that, which frees them up for more and more expansion and more development of the resources out there and the other species of fish. So we're looking at partnering with you folks in any way we can in order to identify the resources available out there and perhaps even financing some of that in long term, if at all possible, with the state of Alaska. Just in hopes that we could sustain the communities and bring their cost of electricity down. Sandpoint, we've run into the opposition of the wind generators, the bird situation, Cold Bay wind generators, bird situation. All these are obstacles that prohibit the advancement of alternative energies. Somehow we have to design or convince the feds or the environmental community. And believe me, I support them 100% for the jobs they're doing in regard to the environment. I appreciate that. But sometimes it just stifles the communities in their ability. And as Mayor O'Hara had said, they watch these folks leave the community. They can't afford to stay there. There is nothing there that they can't afford it. No industry. And it just keeps on increasing. We will never, I don't believe, well, I know in my lifetime, I'll never see us weaned off of diesel or other fossil fuels. But we do have the opportunity to do something for our next generation of kids and keep them in the communities. They'd love to stay there, but they just can't afford it. So they go, it's only natural that we move to where we can afford to live. Thank you.
Thank you, Stanley. Are there any questions? Thank you, Stanley. I appreciate you, your long flight in here today. Next up, we have the City of Wasilla. Vern, if you'll just state your name and affiliation for the record, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Vern Ruprecht, the mayor of the City of Wasilla, and I thank the committee and the chairman for our opportunity to come before you. In keeping with what the agenda says here, it's the testimony on statewide energy plan. It's pretty straightforward that everybody that's a member of the legislature, Senate, and House are diverse enough and come from all parts of the state. You certainly understand the problems in your own districts. We do out in the valley. We share the same problems you have here in Anchorage. I've reviewed the amendment to Title 44, and I fully support it. But what it's going to take is political will. And if you were, or if it, as it's been said, you want a one-stop shopping, and I think we really do, so that we in the Valley, when we're trying to work past our borough codes out there, which seem to be an impediment, and I do agree with Mayor Purcell on that, that we can get past that if we have state politics or state will behind it. It's the same thing with the problems they have out there with environmental issues and other agencies. Nobody seems to have it all put in one spot to coordinate it. During the mayor's conference and here today in the testimony, heard a lot of wonderful ideas with biomass, wind, tidal, you name it. It's out there. The state's diverse. It's not on one grid. And it'll probably be another 150 years before we can even conceive of a grid that's statewide here. It's so big. But we are sectionalized. We have to deal with our immediate problems. I think for us down here in South Central, storage is critical at this point. We're talking about browning out. Anchorage was a very lucky city indeed when the gas was hit out of Cook Inlet, because that's what spurred the growth and the economy here, not just the pipeline. It's come a long way from the days that there was a Liberty ship sitting out there in Cook Inlet, and that was where the power source was for this town. So we have the gas problem, you have the gas problem, we have the electrical problem. There's lots of things that can be done. There's lots of local options, and I ask the legislature to take what they've done in the amended Title 44, put some political power and some will behind it with the federal government, with the lending agencies, backing a lot of these concepts and plans that are coming in from the bush, and certainly for our area. On the short term right now, we need storage. I think we better get to it. And in the long term, we do need hydro. We certainly do need more gas development, methane development. We're sitting on more coal out in Sutton and all the way out into the Beluga fields. It goes on 1,000 years. We have to be able to use that efficiently and overcome some of the naysaying. I mean, I'm old enough, and I won't give my age away, to remember playing in Dad's coal bin. And certainly my punishment for that was the dirty clothes and a good swift kick. Well, we've come a long way since the coal bin, and we have to use that new technology. And I really urge the legislature and the state to get behind these private corporations, these native corporations, the smaller communities out there, and help them overcome the rules and the regulations and help them find the funding so they can come into cheap power for economic development. As we're well aware, out in the valley, we're waiting for the next census. There's probably 120,000 residents out there now, mostly centered between Wasilla Palmer and out to Houston. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do for jobs? And I don't want to go back to running off electric with 8 cords of wood every winter. It was like a boon when NSTAR came across and came into the lower Wasilla area and started spreading out. But now there's a problem. We're going to have to fill up. We would get to fill up the tank, as it were. And I don't believe we have too many more years, especially with the number of people moving in here. And we know with the decline in the United States, the numbers moving into Anchorage, they're also coming into the Wasilla area directly from the States. Unlike before, people would come to Anchorage or Fairbanks, figure out where they wanted to live. Those days are gone. They're coming directly into the valley, into other areas down into Kenai. And I think we got to get ahead of that curve right now. So I really urge you to pass this amendment, put some teeth in it, put it all in one spot so that the towns out in the rural area and those of us in the more urban area can go to one-stop shopping and see if we can't cut through it, because we're certainly going to go cold and dark in a relatively short period of time in this part of the state if we don't act. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Vern. Any questions for Vern?
Yeah.
Representative Edgman?
Thank you, Vern, for coming forward. You mentioned political will, and I couldn't agree with you more in terms of advancing the energy issue. But what's AML doing at present during this meeting in terms of resolutions or sort of any action items tied to energy? Is that a big discussion item?
There's been some discussion. I don't think we even – did we pass a resolution? I think we did. Yeah, I think we've come forward with it. The mayors are behind it, but it's disjointed, as with most everything. So, you know, it's just a matter of maybe it's like herding cats, and I'm sure that the legislature is somewhat like that. I've been down there in the past.
No.
I have enough trouble with 6 council members. So, you know, it's a monumental task, government. We all know that, and sometimes we have to question our sanity for going into it. But the AML, from my determination, is behind that. And, you know, I don't think you're going to get any balking from your mayors. We're at a critical mass, especially those of us in South Central, and understand what the problems are. And we don't want to go back in time. And I think I agree with Mayor Sullivan's position. We need to get some storage. We need to get some energy up and running so we don't brown out, because we already know what NSTAR said if the pilot lights go out. It might take years to relight the city. And for those of us that can't, you know, for those people out there that can't turn the knob and throw the match to it, it could be a real problem bringing everything back up online. And there's only so many plane tickets out of here in the wintertime, and only just so many places to go. So I believe AML mayors, am I correct? Didn't we get working on some resolutions in that area? Yes, I get all the nods. I was too busy listening to Mayor Cottle's jokes in the back of the room to really pay much attention.
We're so sad he's not here. Representative Edgman.
Yes, one more point. I heard you talk about what Mayor Purcell was mentioning as well, sort of the consolidation or alignment, the one-stop shopping. And nobody's advocating increasing government by any means with oil at the price that it is. But what we all realize that energy is a big enough issue that we need to have, you know, more of a centralized, you know, whether it's agency or we need to have all those, as Mayor Mack was talking about, fighting the EPA issue and so forth. We need to have sort of a more centralized entity within state government to sort of combat the various elements of energy. And is that what I'm...
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, if you add, and I don't want to grow the bureaucracy, so maybe you can cut somewhere else and make that little bureaucracy work, but where we can find the funding, get past some of the regulations, whether it's state or federal, and help the smaller towns and, of course, the larger towns, you know, overcome it. I know in the borough, for example, we have a code out there, and Mayor Purcell can correct me if I'm wrong, we're only permitted to build a 50 megawatt. That's why Joe Griffith came across the bridge into Anchorage with a check for $2.4 million to acquire property over on this end to power an area as big as Wyoming. We've been long needing a couple of power plants in that borough out there. It's a big place, and it's growing. And, you know, we need to have jobs. I mean, we just have to look at the way, who'd ever thought Wasilla would stop being one blinky light at Thielens 15 or 20 years ago? I didn't. So, yeah, I agree. I think we have to do that. And as I suggested in the Frontiersman in an article recently, maybe we can go buy a used aircraft carrier or a boomer and set it right there at Kinnick as a tourist attraction and plug into it because it's got a lot of nuclear power on it. They do it all over the world when they do rescue missions. The aircraft. And I have never met a young sailor that's glowing. And so they just sail it right up the inlet, park it over there. We'll just get an extension cord off of it. And we're getting probably enough to power the state. Because when they do those rescue missions off the coast of a lot of those third world countries, that's exactly what they do with it. Maybe the Russians will sell us one. Cheaper, probably.
That by far is the most interesting.
Little tongue in cheek,
heard.
But you know, no, I only reflected on the fact there was that Liberty ship years ago.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, whatever will work, because we certainly don't want to get cold and dark. But I agree with you, Representative Edmund, that we got to get it in one spot so everybody can coordinate at one spot, rather than running all over the state and all over the federal bureaucracy.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Vern. I appreciate you being here. That is all my invited testimony. Unless I missed a mayor or someone representing a borough that didn't get an opportunity to testify that would like. North Pole. If you can just...
I've been fighting the post office this morning.
I mean, we wouldn't want to miss North Pole. So.
Thank you. Doug Isaacson, Mayor of City of North Pole. You were asking about some of the priorities and resolutions that Conference of Mayors have been working on the past few months. One of them is the Alaska Conference of Mayors supports consideration of all routes and the immediate construction of an in-state gas line to provide reliable energy prices, relief for Alaskan communities, and an inducement for business and employment enterprises. This means different things to different of us mayors. To Bert Cottle, who's not here to defend himself, it means, of course, a line going down to Valdez. To us in North Pole, it means get us a bullet line that will help us power the 180 megawatts of Golden Valley power generation, electricity generation that is done in our city. It means get us gas so that Flint Hills, which affects so much of the state economy, whether it's your airport here or whether it's the railroad, you just had 100 people laid off at the railroad because Flint Hill production is going down, and that's a product of royalty gas in the or oil in the Trans-Alaska pipeline. It means get us something so that our cost of producing refined product is lessened. We've got to find a way. If there's a priority, Representative Edmund, that we could work on this year, it would be let's get a gas line built. There's a question, do we do it by inducement or do we construct it so that we keep our anchor tenants and then attract more anchor tenants? We have waited since the 50s to have a gas line built by inducement. It's never going to come by inducement until the state steps in and says, let's anchor businesses so that more business can grow. I've come to that reluctantly, but I'm convinced that that's an issue that we've got to tackle right now. Otherwise, those industries that we do have and the employment that we do get from them will be gone in just a matter of years because they won't be economic anymore. If we're going to attract more manufacturing, we've got to look at this. The second thing I would ask and encourage you to do, you've heard from Vern that
The Beluga gas, or excuse me, Beluga coal mine has 1,000 years. Well, Healy Clean Coal Plant, or Healy Coal, also has, 25% of the known reserves in the United States for coal, and it's low sulfur. Let's get coal to liquids going. Let's start exporting that as a viable product for both the military, whether it's in-state use or the Pacific Fleet or Pacific Air Force. I talked to General North, PACAF commander, just recently at a dinner, and asked him what's happening to all this money that is being spent from the federal side. Senator Stevens had gotten $10 million for the coal-to-liquid study for the Air Force. Congressman Young has $5 million, and the general had said, well, gee, we've got research going, and any research is good research. I want the state to remind these parties that research done in California, let's say, is not necessarily going to be valid in Alaska. But let's get this going so that if we get major exports, we can start living off of residual pricing rather than premium pricing, which we're paying right now for our heat and electricity in the interior and elsewhere, as you've heard. I talked to Steve Hagenson recently, a couple weeks ago, because Congressman Young had come to North Pole to talk to the businesses about entrepreneurship and what it's going to take to use our energy to be stimulant for more growth and employment. And one of the follow-ups to that was my conversation to Steve Hagenson, and I asked him, what is this report going to entail? And you probably have seen it now, or at least drafts. And he said, Mayor, it really is going to be a trickle up from the Cook Inlet. And what does that mean? We have transmission lines that have 70-megawatt capability to get your cheaper-produced electricity up to the interior with natural gas. I really want you guys to solve your natural gas problem down here. We need you to do that. But if we get Healy Clean Coal Plant going on, that's 50 megawatts of energy. Again, there's a 60-megawatt power generator in North Pole. That's a primary generator. That's 45% of that is run off of naphtha. The other 15% is steam. If we could convert that to natural gas or propane, that's only a $2 million conversion versus, $150 million more for the Healy Clean Coal Plant. Now, I know that that is going to have to get online, but that's going to squeeze the amount of electricity we can get from South Central here, whether from your hydro or from your natural gas, as you get that problem solved, it's going to squeeze it. And so the more expensive product out of Healy Clean Coal is going to be there. We've got to get ourselves on the natural gas. I won't repeat what Mayor Hopkins had talked about with EPA and our air quality issues. It's just very vital, though, for the interior to get support to North Pole. North Pole is the canary in Alaska's economy because we have the two refineries that have so much of a statewide impact. We have Golden Valley production, and that affects the rail belt. And right now we see the future not being too bright unless we do something immediately to help protect our tenant industries there. And that's all I want to say. I know that Conference of Mayors will be submitting to you our priorities as they've been drafted and polished up. Thank you for having this hearing while we're meeting so that we from all over the state can address our issues and concerns to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. From Edmund? All right. Hi. Come on board. How are you?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, committee members. I am Patricia Phillips, Mayor for the City of Pelican in Southeast Alaska. I'd like to bring to your attention the Pelican, Alaska has a hydro reservoir and a dam, and though it is a salmon-bearing stream, because of the topography, the dam is in a location where salmon can't get to. But we have pink salmon and chum salmon in the lower river that a lot of the seiners from Southeast Alaska come into to harvest. As you well know, we had our flume collapse earlier this in August, end of August, due to torrential rains, and we're in the middle of doing an Alaska Energy Authority upgrade. We've been working with the Alaska Energy Authority for 5 years. I've been mayor for 5 years, going on 6 years now, and we've been working with them. We put in new power plant module through the Denali Commission funds, and those replaced old diesels that came out of Nevada silver mines in the early 70s. And we're paying right now, because we're on 100% diesel, we're paying 38 cents a kilowatt because our flume went down. But previously, our charge was 17 cents for residential. We have a facility in our community called Pelican Seafoods, and it processes salmon, black cod, halibut, and other assorted species. And if you keep the freezers going, it's like under hydro, it's $9,000 a month. But under our 100% diesel, it's $17,000 a month. And we're facing the reality of what the high cost of diesel electric costs. And the schools, they're not eligible for PCE. And our gymnasium went from $400 a month to $1,000 a month. And so we can't open the gym at night for the kids to play basketball. And our kids wrote a letter to the school board saying, you know, we're going to atrophy because we can't come down and play basketball. But I do have some suggestions for you, Madam Co-Chair. We've been working with Southeast Conference and Alaska Energy Authority. We've identified that the hydro resource at Pelican will supply not only Pelican's needs, but 100% of Hoonah's energy needs as well. And Hoonah is 100% on diesel, and they have a cold storage there as well, and they're paying 58 cents a kilowatt for their electricity. Hoonah is about a community of 600, and we're discussing the option of putting in a line from Pelican to Hoonah. We thought we could do a lake tap and provide additional hydro resources, but our existing system where we have our dam now will provide enough for Pelican and Hoonah, but it means putting in an intertie between the two communities. And there's the city, there's a Elfin Cove between Pelican and Hoonah that could also tap into that energy intertie. What would be a good thing to have the Energy Committee recommend to the House and to the Senate would be funding a coordinator through the Southeast Conference. The coordinator is a valuable outreach resource needed to assist with developing strategies for energy plans and implementation. The Alaska Energy Authority recommended that we do an integrated resource plan, and that would identify energy resources and their economic impact that could be improved through bringing in energy efficiencies. It would also show the state would show support for distressed economies and rural communities, especially those on diesel power generation. Clean, efficient, low-cost energy is one of the main attributes of building a viable community. In Pelican, Alaska, if we can get our cold storage going again, we could do value added to fisheries resources as well as custom processing for sport caught fish. I don't know if any of you have been to Pelican, I invite you there, but we call it another beautiful day in paradise. It's just a beautiful place to live, and it's an asset to the state of Alaska. We all say our little piece of Alaska is the most beautiful place in Alaska. Well, that's what I say about my community, and I hope that you can fund the Southeast Conference Energy Coordinator position and fund some integrated resource plans for some of our rural communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Okay. Thanks. It was good to see you again. Thanks for coming all that way. Is there anyone else from AML that wishes to testify before I close testimony? Thank you. And did you want to testify? Oh, great. Thank you. If you could just state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Harlan Newman. City Council Mayor wasn't able to make it. Former powerhouse hydro operator for the City of King Cove. And I just wanted to say that I think it's renewable energy is we need it. We see firsthand at what the hydro does for us. Currently today we have an upgrade going on from the Alaska Energy Authority in our current facility, and we're having to run diesels today, and we are using about 700 to 800 more gallons than we normally would be because of our hydro is down. Basically, I'm just getting at that the hydro is renewable energy is key. We are at about 26 cents a kilowatt hour in King Cove. Sandpoint, our neighboring city, is around 50 cents a kilowatt hour, and they're strictly diesel. We're exploring wind, tidal, and a second hydro facility. And just saying, it's renewable is important. And thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I just maybe offer a quick comment. But since King Cove is in my district, and I had the opportunity to be down there, it was interesting when Senator Hoffman and I was down there in September. Mayor Mack and a bunch of others brought us into the plant, and I can't remember the plant operator's name, George. But he said, "Did you hear anything?" And we said, "No, we don't hear anything," because all the generators were turned off. The community was being powered by hydro, the hydro facility, the one that's online now. And hopefully with the second hydro facility coming online and maybe some wind as well down the road to supplement that, King Cove will certainly be a model for a lot of other communities to emulate.
It's very, very exciting, you know, to have the hydro facility there and a second one. And we're looking into the wind. Currently, our wind tower is up next to the hydro. And the winds, like Stanley Mack was saying, is great there, but turbulent. So we're going to pick up and try to move our current wind met tower and try to do some more studies further down to where it's less turbulent. But, I know for a fact that our current kilowatt rate would be tremendous. We'd probably be up around 50 cents, just like our neighboring city. Our coal bay is actually, I think, a little bit higher. Just expressing that it's great to have a hydro facility and keep exploring. Thank you.
I think Representative Peterson has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. you mentioned Sandpoint. Is there an intertie connecting the two right now?
No. Sandpoint is about 80 miles up from us, and Cole Bay is our neighboring city, and that's the one we're looking into if we could get the second hydro online and try to help Cole Bay out, because I'm pretty sure they're I'm not exactly sure what their kilowatt hour is, but I know it's tremendous and stuff. So,
thanks.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify from AML? No? Representative Edgman, do you want to offer some closing statements before I adjourn the meeting?
Well, I just want to say that I think the mayor's conference is having reception at 6:30. Is that right tonight? 6:30 to 8. And just to put a friendly plug in for our mayors who do a lot of the heavy lifting for those of us in the legislature. The real Santa Claus, yes.
Thanks. Anybody else have any closing comments before we adjourn? Representative Jewell.
Thank you. it's been a kind of a neat hour and a half. But as I was sitting here listening to folks from AML, I was reminded that a few years ago the issue of energy was kind of a rural-urban issue, and we used to all fight. And I think I'm kind of glad this crisis has reached a statewide place, because we've become of common focus, and it's helped us find each other's importance. And it's helped us recognize each other's challenges. And I think by a statewide focus, finally we'll get the legislature to act on some of these things in a way that we need to.
Thank you, Representative Joel. Anybody else? Well, I would just, before we adjourn, I would just encourage the mayors to take back the policy statement that the stakeholders have put together. We will be putting up a website soon with information for your comments, but please submit them to Jeff or Adam, and we'd sure like your feedback prior to session when we get the legislation moving. And appreciate your coming and taking some time out of your conference to come and talk to the legislature, and thank you for being here. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting at 5:08.